This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 388. It wouldn't be E3 without pre-show rumors. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm sore.
Well, that's your own fault.
It's the chair's fault.
No, it's your fault.
No, it's a chair's fault.
The chair wasn't like, I'm going to fuck up Panda's day.
That chair maliciously came after me.
Was not sentient. You and me and all of our fans.
I was straight up killing it, and it was all like, oh no, bitch.
Yeah, it was not the chair's fault that you decided to plop down all up in it.
Yeah, it was totally the chair's fault.
No, you made the decision to plop.
It maliciously assaulted me.
It does not have a malicious bone in its body. Because it is a chair, it doesn't have a bone.
It didn't like that I had so much swagger that it was like, I'm going to make you look like a fool. It did.
You just need to stop. And that is not the case at
all. Fuck that chair.
That chair had nothing against you. You just need
to stop. Hashtag cruel intentions.
No, it did not.
Cruel chair tensions.
No, it didn't. Oh my goodness. You know what? You're just not going to accept where
nope,
responsibility
it
lies.
Did that.
So I guess we just have to jump into all of the nerd stuff that we're going to talk about on our podcast this week, which is all video games because it's all E3. This is our lead-in to E3, the pre-pre lead-in to E3, because next week is the, oh man. So we've got some video game stuff to talk about. I know Panda's been, you know, dabbling in some new things. We made some purchases we're going to talk about some of us, as I raised my hand, thought we weren't going to make just yet, but then that changed.
Well, and then some of us made the purchase with no way to use them yet.
So, you know, cart before horse, but whatever, that's how we roll. So we're going to jump right into it because we've got a lot to talk about. First up, we are both PS4 owners.
Yep. Finally.
It finally happened. You can hit me up on the PlayStation Network PSN tag Ninja Sister. Not surprising, because that's what I am on everything. But finally picked it up. And there were a couple of things that led to my picking up the PS4, which I've talked about before on the podcast, until there were some PlayStation 4 only games that I really wanted to play on the system. I didn't think that it was going to make much sense to pick up the system early. And then a couple of games got definitive release dates that I was interested in. You know, we've been talking about The Order 1886 since it was announced at last year's E3, so I am looking forward to playing that game, and it is only available on PlayStation 4. There are some very interesting games that are being made available free through PSN on the system. So I thought, you know, now might be a good time, you know, with Sony's announcement that they are actually making money on the boxes at this point. I really didn't think that they were going to do any kind of price drop on the system coming out of E3, which was really my only hesitance of buying one before E3. I thought that there might be, especially with Microsoft, unbundling the Kinect from the Xbox One, that Sony may attempt to do a price drop, but since they're making money on the boxes, most likely not going to happen. So I figured, hey, let's go ahead and get this one in the bag, get it set up, so when I come back from E3, depending upon what goodies I have in hand and what goodies I know are going to be launching within the next couple of months, I'll be prepared. So picked up my PlayStation 4, picked up a copy of Infamous Second Son, because of all the games that are available on the PlayStation 4 right now, Infamous Second Son is really the only exclusive that I was very interested in playing that's currently available. So I've been playing that on my PS4. I already added a couple people who shot me the invite. Thanks to those guys for hollering at me. Ultimately did not pick up Watch Dogs for the PlayStation 4 simply because I had pre-ordered it for the Xbox One. So I already had it in-house. And I'm not a big fan of playing the same game on two different platforms at the same time.
I have done that, but only with a game that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
I guess I've kind of done that twice now, because the first time I did that was with Resident Evil 5, which is the one that most people apologize for. I refuse to apologize for it because it happens to be my favorite one.
Wait, they apologize for it because it's so bad, or they apologize for liking it?
People who really like it apologize for liking it, because that's the game that really kind of teetered
on
that.
That's the one that's not...
That's that one that teetered on, is this really...
A survival horror?
Is this... Yeah. Because it's in the daylight, it's like in Africa... It could possibly be kind
it's
of seen
as racist. It's basically Devils May Cry. Devil May Cry.
Well, I mean, it's more action-y. It's the Chris Show starring Chris, featuring Chris and Sheva. So, like, it's the Chris Show.
Sheva.
He punches a boulder inside of an active volcano and doesn't even go, ow, that's hot. So, like...
Because Chris is a bad dad?
Chris Redfield is apparently...
Impervious to lava?
He's unbreakable, apparently. He's Bruce Willis in Resident Evil 5, which makes no sense. But I got that for both my PS3 and Xbox 360. And then recently, I went and got Borderlands for my PS3, even though I have Borderlands 1 and 2 for the Xbox already and beat it. But I've only done it for games I extremely love. Now, I, on the other hand, bought my PS4, like I said a couple seconds ago, without a TV in which I can hook it up on, because the main TV that I have already has my Xbox 360 on it, and now the Wii U. And once we get the gaming
TV... I have the
yes,
game room
once
TV
we get
ready.
The game room TV to its location, I will then have the TV in which my new... Right here. You hear that? That's my PS4 box, still fully filled with the PS4. And also with it, a copy of Watch Dogs, which I did get. And I also went ahead and got the Season's Pass for Watch Dogs, which is not something I normally do. You are a Season's Pass junkie.
I tend to, because I figure, hey, if I can get additional run out of a game that I've paid some serious money for, then I'm all for it. So if a season pass is going to run me $16 and I'm going to get at least three more big download single player campaigns out of it, then I'm all for doing it.
Yep. So, I mean, I played What Would Ninja Do? So I asked the guy when I bought it, he's like, big purchase day? I'm like, impulse buy day, mister. And he's like, so is there any way I can interest you in this? I'm like, what's in it? He's like, there's a character with his own story.
Yep.
Like, additional gameplay. There's a couple more additional quest line things for the main character of the thing.
A couple of new rides, a couple of exclusive weapons, plus another DLC pack that's planned down the road.
Yep. So I was like, Ninja would buy this. I will do it.
Yep.
And like I said, it's still amply in this
what
box.
What Would Ninja Do is a great game to play.
Ninja would do at least six more things than I would do.
No, really only like three, but they would be awesome. And you would think about doing them, but you would talk yourself out of them.
Yes. I'm like, I don't really need this. She was like, let's do it. And I'm I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so the way that you like jump in and play JRPGs, like that's how I approach purchasing video games.
That's how you approach life.
No, it's just how I approach purchasing video games. Not life. Not at all. Not
like,
at
hey,
all.
I'm just going to do this thing.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. Not at all. But when it comes to, like, purchasing video games or comic books or movie tickets, I'm like, fuck it, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Worst case scenario, the movie sucked. Worst case scenario, the game sucks. You trade it back in.
True that.
You know? So jump in, just fucking do it.
All right, so.
That's all you got to do. Just jump in, do it. Fucking do it. So we both own PlayStation 4s. You can hit us up on the networks. Add us to your network.
Well, you can't add me just yet, but...
Really, you're going to yawn that big in the sentence on the show?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
No couth.
Nope. I'm a classy broad.
I thought I raised you better than that.
Wait, I was raised?
I thought you were.
Nah.
That's pretty sure you
I are. Like braised beef.
I don't... braised beef.
Braised beef.
So, with that in place going into E3, we started talking about, you know, games that we are very interested in on playing our now current gen systems. We have an Xbox One in-house. We have PlayStation 4s in-house. We have the Wii U hooked up. So, you know, Mario Kart is about to go down. That's going to be a thing that can be made to happen. I started running down the list of just things that I'm interested in and I want so desperately just to hear about at E3. With that being said, trying to fit them into my gamer queue is kind of ridiculous because I'm currently, I want to say, a quarter of the way through Wolfenstein The New Order on my Xbox One. Shout out to Bethesda for hooking me up with that. I just started Infamous Second Son, and I'm like on the third big city opening up communication and like throwing the DUP out of the city.
DUP?
On. Yeah, they're the bad cops.
Oh.
And boo! And then I have Rayman Legends that I haven't even like scratched the surface of on the Xbox One. And of course, like I mentioned, picked up Watch Dogs as a pre-order. So I'm like to the hilt right now on games, and we're going to E3, so there's a whole week where I won't be playing those games at all. I'll be trying to get my hands on other games. So I really got to figure out my gamer queue and really quickly, because I got to tell you, if even a quarter of the things on my list of rumors and things that I want so desperately to be true or to get some information about are correct, we're going to have an epic broke bitch October, November, December upon our hands.
Broke bitch life?
Broke bitch quarter.
About that broke bitch life.
Broke bitch quarter is about to happen, I have a feeling. So, with that being said, and the games that I'm playing, I will say just really quickly on the cursory, Wolfenstein The New Order is fantastic. Just when you thought that shooting and killing Nazis was old news, kind of old hat, been there, done that. No, not so much. Completely different outing, and in a good way. You know, it harkens back enough to old school Wolfenstein that it pays homage well, but it is a completely different experience, you know, with the Nazis winning and now going back and trying to right the wrongs of the world. And having an emotional, moving story as part of it is really, frankly, refreshing. So I'm really enjoying the Wolfenstein experience, and we'll have a full review shortly, hopefully. Watch Dogs, I've just started playing, and by just, I mean like for the half hour before we sat down to record this podcast, popped it in because Wolfenstein was in my Xbox One. But I have to say, like, my first impressions of Watch Dogs are that the people that talk about the image quality not being the same or even comparable across systems, the current gen systems, you guys are really nitpicky because it looks great on my TV.
Maybe they don't have good TVs.
They may have like bomb ass TVs. Like if you have a 4K TV, maybe it doesn't look as good. But on my 120 hertz refreshing 60 inch, it looks damn nice. And I have not bumped into a single frame rate issue yet, so it's fine. And that's running on the Xbox One. And Infamous Second Son, it runs so fast that sometimes I can't keep up with actually what's going on screen. And so I fuck up where the character's supposed to go and what they're supposed to do because it's moving so fast and I don't expect the game to move that fast or the character to move that fast that I fuck it up and end up, like, running into the ocean. Or running up the wrong building. Or running into a palm.
Or...
No, those are pretty much it.
Oh, those are all the ores?
Those are pretty much right now the consistent ores where I fuck things up that happen.
Oh, man, I fuck things up on the reg.
Because you don't steal cars in Infamous, which is really weird. You use your powers to get around the city.
Okay. That sounds like something you should do if you have powers.
Yeah, but some of your powers, you're just like, if I could just, like, literally open this car door of this car that's right next to me that I could completely fucking destroy with my powers, but I can't somehow open the door to get in it.
I can destroy you, but I cannot be of you.
Right. It's so weird. It's like I can blow this car apart and then suck out the smoke to fuel my smoke power,
but I can't open the door, sit in it, and drive away.
To the other part of town that I have to go to.
Driving is so beneath you.
Obviously, in Infamous Second Son it is. Whereas in Watch Dogs, it's like, hey, I can hack the CTOS over here, so I'm just going to pop right into this car and take this one for a ride. Sweet. And then you can get across town the way you're supposed to, as opposed to like skulking through alleyways and things like that.
I mean, it seems like if you're trying to navigate and not be detected, you would want to do the thing that makes you look, oh, I don't know, the most normal.
Right, which is driving across
as opposed to blowing it up.
Right, or you know, being a neon beam of speeding light across rooftops.
I feel like there's some continuity issues here.
I would feel like that would stick out a little bit more than maybe saying driving a little Pinto down the road. But hey, what do I know? I'm just playing the video game.
I mean, I didn't make it.
So, that's a little weird. Feels a little off to me, but okay. So there's that.
Right.
But Infamous I am enjoying as well. The gameplay is interesting. It very much kind of feels like super future Assassins to me in some of the mechanics, as far as the different side quests that you have available, giving you the ability to level up your character and their powers. So they're not just there to be side quests that you fill to get, you know, completed achievements or trophies. They do in fact affect your character as you're playing through.
Okay.
So that's a positive to that, because I hate when that gets thrown onto a game and it doesn't positively affect the character that I'm playing in any way. So it's like, so it's just filler, basically, like filler episodes of an anime. I'm not
a big fan of filler.
Yeah, I don't want filler. I want all beef. You know what I'm saying?
Kobe beef?
Yeah,
Kobe,
you know what I'm talking about.
Kobe beef.
Kobe. So that's what I've been playing. You can talk a little bit about what you've been running through, what you've been playing, and then we can get into this rumor mill stuff.
Well, ooh, in all girl. Honesty, like I said, with my purchase, there's something else that I also purchased that I have conveniently sitting here.
What?
I haven't cracked it open yet.
What? How do you buy stuff and not open it?
Like this.
Like, that's just sad. Like, there's no way that would, if I purchased that it would still be sealed right
now. And for those who obviously can't see what that is, I am starting to venture into doing more 3DS games and more portable games, like on my tablet and stuff like that. And someone told me that I would really enjoy Professor Layton games, to which I was like, what are Professor Layton games? Everyone talks about them.
I can't believe that you don't know about Professor Layton games.
I don't.
Whoever talked to you is absolutely right. They're right up your alley.
So they're like, but you should totally get the ones that are for the 3DS and not necessarily just the regular DS games, because of all the street passy things that get incorporated into 3DS games. So right. I went and got Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask. And like I said, I have not opened it yet, but it looks like a whole lot of those brain teaser type of things that make you smarter.
Yep.
So I don't know if this particular person was like, hey, you should play this game because you're dumb and you need to be smart.
I don't think that you have any friends that would be like,
no, I don't think so. But it's going to be a great way to open my mind. And
I'm sure that they recommended it because you like to solve puzzles.
I like puzzles. And I like to think things out in a way that would make sense. If not to everyone, just to me. Which I do often, if you know me.
You do often.
I do that. So, so it's on board. Often. It's on deck. I have been playing a lot of Rhythm Heaven. Because I'm trying to unlock all of the mini games for that.
Really?
I still haven't because of that fucking Love Lab level.
Which one was that?
It's the one where you're a chick and you're next to a dude in a lab coat and you have to shake hearts out of flasks in a certain rhythm to package love. And if you do it right, you fall in love with the dude that you work with, which I have never liked to fall in love with people I work with. You don't shit where you eat.
You shouldn't shit where you eat. You have shit where you eat.
I have. No. Yes. I've dated people I went to school with.
That's still like working with them.
It's if we weren't in the same major.
Wait, hold on. If you were in anime club together, that was work that you did, especially because you were the treasurer. So
I was the president.
Yeah, at one point. That's work. You shat where you ate.
All right, Continue. Twice. I've done it twice.
You didn't learn the first time.
Nope. Panda doesn't like to learn lessons.
History repeats.
When you do it wrong, you're doomed to repeat it, which happens to be was the case for me.
Murder was the case that they gave her.
But, and I just I'm trying to clean that out, and I want to get back into the rhythm stuff.
I miss rhythm gaming.
I honestly, I feel like we're going to
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yep.
But that's. I have that set up to play. I can tell you things I've been watching quickly before we get into the meat and potatoes of our show.
Word.
I finally sat down and watched From on Top of Poppy Hill.
Okay.
And we all know that I'm a big anime fan and also a big Hayao Miyazaki fan.
Yes.
Not the first time I've talked about Studio Ghibli or Ghibli. On this show. And I tried to watch Tales of Ursea, which if you go back to several episodes, you've heard me gripe about it.
We don't watch Ursea.
You know, but that obviously was not, you know, Hayao's masterpiece, air quotes there. but that was Goro taking a step at the directing side of Studio Ghibli. And we all know that he failed horribly and made a mockery out of...
So, wait, hold on. As far as people who read...
If you read Tales of Ursea, then you are horribly mortified
by what
you saw.
Goro Miyazaki.
If you never read it,
it's fine.
It is okay.
It is okay. Hold on. If you have not read Tales of Ursea,
I have not read Tales of Ursea, but I can tell you right now from watching that adaptation of Tales from Mercy. For one, you know that Goro is no Hayao Miyazaki.
Okay, and nor should he be. And it's not fair to hold him to that standard. I'm just saying that as far as a feature animated film that was directed, it is a fine anime.
It's not okay.
It's just jump cuts everywhere and that there's no story that's woven together.
I would rather watch... Castle in the Sky, Laputa, 5 times in a row, in slow Japanese, then watch Tales of Ursea.
You're just being snooty, because I read Tales of Ursea and I saw Goro's movie, and I can separate the two. Yes, I prefer the book version to the movie version, but it is not the worst piece of shit that I've ever seen on the planet.
But
anime fans talk about it like it's the worst piece of shit that ever happened. It's not, so be fair.
Anyway, I personally did not like Tales of Ursea.
There's other shit that's better.
I feel like he could have done more research and spent more time learning about that universe to portray it more accurately.
Question. Was Tales of Ursea not Goro's first big time in the director's chair?
Well, yes, it was.
So maybe he wanted to prove to his dad
that he could do it, because at that point there were rumors around that Hayao was going to be stepping down from directing, which at this point in this podcast, he has in fact, he's got one more thing that he's taking a director stance on, and after that he is done.
He retires like Jay-Z retires.
He's like, I'm going to do the Wind Rises and then I'm done. But then I'll be back for a tour.
Seriously.
But anyway,
Rock is in the building.
It was Goro's first really big thing, but it was his thing that he wanted to do in order to show his dad that, you know, he could take...
Yeah, so he bit off a little bit more than he could chew.
He most certainly did.
But...
However, he has redeemed himself with From on Top of Poppy Hill. Because, like I said, I was a little...
And is it From Up on Poppy Hill?
From Up on Top of Poppy Hill. From Atop Poppy Hill. From the hills of Jade... No. From on Top of Poppy Hill. Which, I have to say, I cried. I cried at this movie. And I wasn't expecting to, because I wasn't sure how Goro was going to really take... how he was going to take a slice of life... full-length film. Because, I mean, we've seen Takahashi in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which was Slice of Life with a little, you know, sci-fi in there. And we've seen Hayao's way of taking Slice of Life and making it more than that. So I was curious as to what he was going to do. And he has this way, Goro, has this way with characters that you don't fully see in Hayao Miyazaki, because Hayao is really about the atmosphere affecting his characters, seeing what all those influencers do in the situation. Whereas Goro takes a very in amongst the trees approach. You know, like, if you're going to talk about a tree, well, I'm going to be a tree. And that's how you're going to learn about tree life. And I think he had a really great concept, because in the story, really briefly, there is this girl who is, her father was a sailor. And he was madly in love with this girl's mom. Her name is Umi. Umi's parents got eloped because their parents were not for their relationship at all. And her mother went off to study in America, and her father went off on his boat. And his boat, during the war, around, I think it's World War II?
Because he was in the service.
He was in the service. And his boat got blown up.
And it was the Korean War.
Yes. So, whichever history, guys. Anyway, so his boat blows up and he dies in service. But mommy's away in America. Umi is the oldest of three kids. And she is living with her grandmother, who also has boarders in her house. So she has to take the responsibilities of helping the boarders at the house and, you know, cooking meals and cleaning, even though the grandmother obviously does have some type of wealth, is very frugal about it. And not frugal in a mean way, but just frugal in a tactile way of running a boarder's home. And everyone is really focused on Umi because she's just very driven, you know, to follow the rules, do what is right, be that pinnacle, be that foundation for her family, while obviously in her own way understanding that she is broken through the loss of her father, and tries to self-treat herself by raising these flags that boats that are out in the water, if they can see them, can respond. So it's a way to communicate. It's kind of like
semaphore.
Morse code, but with flags. And so every morning she raises these flags. Oh, and
good.
Literally one day at her school, that has this giant clubhouse that all the boys just kind of hang out in, apparently. There's a newspaper that comes out, and at the bottom of it, there's like this decoded, encrypted love letter, essentially, to Umi, because it's talking about the girl who raises the flags every morning. You know, and she's all like, I don't have time for boys, you know, but I wonder who this is, you know, maybe I can have a life somewhere, because, you know, she's very, you know, closed off to that because of everything that's happened to her. And you find out that the guy who is running the newspaper is the one who is sending these notes and has been responding to her flags via a little tugboat that she is not known. And you see this natural, very earthy approach to human interaction, which is just so refreshing to see. Like, it's not all that cliched stuff. I mean, there are characters around
them. Wait. It's not cliched?
No. Oh,
really?
I don't find it cliche at all, because they have all those bit characters in the background around Shun and Umi who are so much more cliche that if they are, you're not sensing that from the main couple, because everyone else is kind of like, well, I'm the fat nerd who does this. Well, I'm the sister who's always about my appearance. And I'm the boy who always has snot coming out.
I'm the editor of a newspaper that's dying, so I'm about to do any and everything I can to keep it alive.
Yeah.
Like, jump off the building. Yeah, no, totally not trying to make a statement. At all. I'm not going to fall in love with this girl at love at first sight that also kind of, sort of.
I'm getting to that. So, that natural.
Yeah, totally not cliche at all.
That natural romance that I just briefly talked about, you find out, because as they start to get closer and closer and they start talking about family and feels and stuff, and she starts talking about her father and she shows a picture, Shun, the male interest in this, kind of is shocked because he has the identical picture at home. And you find out that he was adopted to this family who, the father of that family, the tugboat sailor, was like, yeah, that was your father in that picture, and it's Umi's father. So
they related.
So Shun is like,
can't hit it. Incest. You surprise know, and, anime.
Yeah. So he's like, I can't be with you. And she doesn't understand so because she doesn't know.
Totally not cliche.
Well, that's the thing. That's when it got cliche. But the natural interactions were not. But needless to say, like, as soon as it was going off, I'm like, great, they're related. They can never be. But it's going to be so angsty. And it wasn't. They took a very, you know, this can't happen. You're right. But I love you. I love you too. But we can't do this. I know.
So let's have an awkward period where we don't talk and we run into each other. And I, as the girl, I'm going to be really, really sad because I don't understand why you're distancing yourself
yeah,
from me.
Yeah, but then she was manned up and she was like, are you mad at me? And he's like, we're brother and sister. And she's like, what? You know, and it's just like, yeah.
And I know we can't do anything about it, but I still love you. Let me hop on a train.
If it had been cliche, what would have happened?
Well, she got on a train right when she made her declaration of I love you.
No, and then he held her hands. He held her hands and was just like, you know, I know. And like they had this moment.
Exactly.
And they could have just macked and they could have gone Angel Sanctuary and just fucked, but they didn't.
It's a Miyazaki movie. But I don't care if it's
because I love that in Miyazaki movies, no one, no matter how much passion and love there is, nobody fucks.
Because it's about Miyazaki. The innocence of the budding relationship yeah. in all of his stories. And while Hayao Miyazaki didn't direct this movie, he still did the screenplay. So it's still his story.
Right.
It's just that Goro did the directing.
Anyway, so...
Don't get me wrong, I liked From Up on Puppy Hill.
The clubhouse that all the boys are in, one, is like a pigsty. And the school is planning to demolish it for, like, a new high-techy thing. And the boys... And it's funny, because all these boys, like, during that whole scene, I at first was thinking very Cromartie High School, but, like, toned down.
Well, because none of them are really thugs.
They're not thugs, but they all are very passionate and driven about whatever that one thing that they really like is. And they had a really good way of honing in that these boys are all unified, but separate. Like, there's these two guys who are in an archaeology club, and I died at this part, because they're sitting there trying to debate on how to make people interested in archaeology. And it's just like, how do we do it? And it's like, we can't. And at the end of it, like, no, I get it. We just have to get people excited about the Paleolithic, and I just butchered that.
Paleolithic.
Like, age. And, like, they just get so excited, and they're in, and it's infectious, which was great. To fast forward, you find out that the two main love interests are not actually blood related.
So now Panda has told you the entire movie, so you don't have to see it.
Yep. You should still see it, though, because it's great. And I didn't... There's some stuff I left out, but it is beautiful in its own way, and I feel
there
like
There are only
Goro,
minor details. That's pretty much the story.
And Goro, I think, redeemed himself greatly from Tales of Versi from this piece. So, I mean, and I've been watching Sailor Moon on Hulu Plus because it's now available. But I'm not going to go into that.
Well, thanks, because I had said that it was going to be an all-game podcast, and then...
There are Sailor Moon games.
You made me liar. There's not a From Up on Pop.
Liar! Anyway.
You just made me lie.
So games now. Games now.
So game stuff, right? So we talked a little bit about what we've been playing. Panda talked about anime she's been watching. Before we jump off the anime, there's a couple that if you're not watching, you should be watching.
You should be watching.
One is called The Irregular at High School, which you absolutely need to check out. It is available on Hulu as well as Crunchyroll. You also want to check out No Game, No Life. That one is so far up your alley, Panda. I'm surprised you're not watching it yet.
Huh?
So you need to fix that and get on it. And then if you liked This Ugly Yet Beautiful World.
I did.
And if you like the uncharacteristical pairings of characters, then you should watch The World Is Yet Still Beautiful.
Is it somehow related to...
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just good. So there are those things rolling around.
I Pupa.
On the... I can't. Nope. Nope. But...
It's not that bad.
No Game, No Life. The World Is Yet Still Beautiful. The Irregular at High School. And there's one other one that I've been watching realistically. It's also right up your alley. It's a reverse harem. It's a chick with a bunch of gods. Gods.
Are they boy gods?
Yes. And Zeus has stuck them all on a floating high school in the sky. And the only way that they can return to their lives and different realms is if they can figure out how to
get the girl to fall in love with them.
Reach humanity and understand humanity. And so there are gods taken from different areas. So there are Greek gods, Norse gods.
Chinese gods.
Yep. A couple from each. So you have like Loki and Baldur. You have a Japanese water god and Dionysus and Apollo. It's quite interesting. And so it's basically like that musical band anime one that you like so much. Uta no Prince Summer.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like that.
More boys.
Yeah.
More.
Rainbow
colored haired boys with singy, angsty songs.
Yeah. So take out the music.
Damn.
And then, but you don't have to because they're all trying to go through school and understand like high school together. And all of their powers have been sealed by Zeus in different jewelry that they wear. And emotionally, as they come to terms with understanding that they're all in love with this girl who's human.
Of course. Some of them always
break,
in love.
Yeah, some of them break their thing and are able to somewhat have access to their powers again. So, it like, seriously, it's right up your...
Oh my god, I'm totally watching it.
It's Kamigo no Asobi or something like that. I don't
know. S-O-B.
Asobi.
I don't know. I will point it out.
Is also on the Crunchyroll. Definitely worth checking all those out. Some fantastic new simulcasts that I'm addicted to. But back on to games.
Addicted to love.
Bunch of rumors have been pouring out across the web about E3.
Which is no surprise because it happens every year.
It's no surprise it happens every year. People quote-unquote leak screenshots or have from a quote-unquote reliable resource high up in the blah 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 organization.
Blah 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 up my ass, blah 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 secrets, blah blah blah.
And so one of our favorite things to do is to just kind of run through all of the rumors that we've heard and talk about which ones we think have some credibility, which ones are just way the fuck out there, which it almost like 50% of the time turned out to be the ones that are true whenever we think that they're completely out there. So that's always fun. But and then just talk about a little bit what we really want to see kind of happen at E3. Next week, we're going to be talking about what we're going to go and see and who we're going to be talking to, what we expect out of the show and all that kind of stuff. But as far as rumors go around, here are a couple of my favorite ones that are popping up. First and foremost, there are Metroid rumors rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I would love it if Nintendo would have a new Metroid game.
Were you not a fan of Metroid or the Other M?
I didn't get to play Other M.
Oh.
So I ended up going, like, the Pikmin route, and then...
Ain't nothing wrong with Pikmin.
There's nothing wrong with Pikmin, but I kind of fell out of love with my Wii,
mm-hmm.
and fell more in love with my other consoles, so I didn't actually play Other M. The last game that I played through to fruition on the system was the Zelda game, Twilight Princess.
Oh, what a great game.
Yeah, Twilight Princess was the last one that I played, like, all the way through, even though the damn Yeti level took me for frickin' ever, because I couldn't hardly see anything, which I guess was kind of the point, but whatever.
Womp womp.
I have old eyes. Shut up. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know who would work on it. I don't remember Other M really doing that well.
It didn't.
So, I don't know that they would necessarily do that, especially with Brawl about to drop.
And that's funny that you brought that up, because that's what I wanted to talk about.
And you've got
next.
Samus in there. I don't know that they would immediately follow that up with a Samus outing.
I mean, if they were planning to rebrand or retool, like readapt, this would be that would be a great way to do it. Give you a double dose. One of the rumors that I've been hearing about is NFC figurines for Smash Brothers. So,
what's an NFC figurine? Just in case people don't know.
So, you know, like
Skylanders,
Disney Infinity, where you have a cute little figurine that when you put it on a particular base, it becomes active in your game somehow. It's like VR, but with figurines.
It's a merchandise pull to make more money on a video game.
Merchandising. And it looks like we might see some NFC figurine.
Well, that's one of the rumors, is that there'll be NFC.
For Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would be a great way to boost some of those revenues that they lost.
You know, I mean, when you're half a bill in the hole.
I mean, you want to make money. You want to suck money. Some consumer
so,
D.
So here's my thing on that. I'm of two minds because there's a big piece of me who's like, absolutely, I would freaking love an NFC-based brawl. Because you would have to then open up the character world to be more than just 26 characters.
Yep.
You can't make bank on having a role that's going to have 26, which means you're then going to have Nintendo pretty much open up the vault on licensed Nintendo characters. And where that becomes a big deal is that takes it to Disney level. As opposed to like Skylanders level for me. Because Skylanders, they're inventing characters.
Right.
They're not known quantities.
Yes.
And so, you know, depending upon what their feature sets are, that's what determines whether or not they're successful sales figures for those figures, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you have a known quantity, it's more on the nostalgia pull and the basic fondness for characters or a game that can drive figure sales, even if those figures never get used in a game. So as an example, I bought Sorcerer Mickey for Infinity, and I almost tried to figure out a way to go to D23 to get it, because if you went to D23, it was part of your goodie bag gift that you got early, the Sorcerer Mickey, but I knew they'd eventually release it for the public, so I just pre-ordered it on Amazon and waited the 4 months before it became available. But, you know, I know that the Disneyverse is so full of characters that their roster is never going to die out of new characters that they could add. Between sidekicks, subplot characters, and many of them, you know, have a lot of play and a lot of nostalgia credit and affinity with people. The same thing with the Nintendo universe. You know, beyond Mario and Luigi, you have that whole expanded verse where you have Yoshis of different colors,
toadstools. Oh my god, the blue Yoshi with wings! Blue Yoshis with wings!
Toadstools of different kinds, not to mention because Nintendo, in order to release your game on their platform, it's got to be licensed by Nintendo. That opens up a whole lot of characters that have the possibility of coming back and being brought back. You know, that's your Toshindens. You could
Thundering.
You could theoretically have Nintendo come out with NFC characters of those fighters. You know, because Mortal Kombat has been a game, just like Marvel is a thing now that Disney, as far as Infinity 2.0, is going to incorporate. You could have those past characters from past games that have come out on Nintendo systems become NFC characters. Like, I would love to have the fighting roster.
And
you
know, I mean,
I would love to have some NFC characters from the Super SNK.
The only problem I would see with that is that the thing that drew people into Brawl was, you know, learning your signature characters that you would play with.
And that's with any fighting game that you go into.
Right. 20. Well, I mean, anyone that gives you that tag team element. And that was the thing that really kind of threw people for a loop in Brawl, because then you saw people using characters cross games, potentially. And if you open it up way too much, I feel like you will find people who will, I mean, I guess it's not necessarily a detraction, but I mean,
it's not, because it just
makes
opens
all the combinations that much more.
Well, it doesn't.
Detailed.
It just means that people are going to set, you know, just like they set their roster of these are the characters I use with these moves. It means that they're going to focus on a certain set of characters that they have the figures for to do the same thing. Yeah. Like, it translates. It doesn't change. The only thing that it does is that it makes it, I think, a little bit easier to incorporate more characters, because now you have basically 12 to 15 move types.
Right.
That you're just swapping some power-up. So on one character, it's these moves all with an element of fire. With this character, it's the same moveset, but they use ice. So it slows down. They use electricity, so it stuns. Like, I don't think that it detracts from the power, and it basically makes tourney even wider because now you open up the playing field to style, not just gameplay being part of, you know, the tournament set. You know, what characters are you going to bring versus these are the set characters that, you know, everybody's going to play with. Who's the best Bowser? Now you're going to walk into a tourney and you're not going to know necessarily the figures that your opponent is going to drop on the table. And so I think it kind of makes it more akin to, at least to me, tabletop card battle.
Right. Yeah.
Because you don't know what I'm coming to the table with.
Yeah.
As opposed to, look, we both have 26 characters to pull from. You're probably going to pull this character. I'm probably going to pull this character. I think it adds a little bit more excitement to it. So I'm hopeful, actually, that Nintendo does it. I don't know that, you know, because they're half a billion in the hole, that they're going to have the bank to
not off
roll
the bat.
Up.
Not off the bat.
And do, but in order for it to work, it has to be off the bat. You have to sell it as an NFC system. People aren't going to want to spend time developing and learning existing characters and then buy an NFC base and start buying
You're
figurines.
Right.
So it's got to launch with it if they're going to do it. And I don't know that they have the bank. So my heart of hearts is like, it's probably not going to happen. But I really, really wish that it did.
You brought up a really good point about fighters and stuff, because another rumor that was going around was that Ed Boon was teasing an announcement.
It's not a rumor.
It's probably not now. And if we hear anything, it might happen along this week, probably like pre-E3. So like this week into maybe the beginning of next week.
Oh, no, it's E3. It's going to happen at E3. They already teased out the poster. It looks amazing.
Yep, I'm looking at the poster right now, and literally it looks like another Mortal Kombat is heading our way.
It's imminent.
And I'd love to see them take Mortal Kombat to a new place.
If the new Mortal Kombat could play like Gods Among Us,
oh my god,
I would give over my money right now.
Take my money.
Seriously, I'll put cash down right now.
Take it. Another thing that I want to talk about that was apparently a rumor, but has been confirmed because of a accidental leak.
Oh, please.
Oh, no.
Stop accidentally leaking shit. Just make announcements. Like,
no.
You
know what an accidental leak is? Hey, I'm holding this bucket full of water. Oh, I dumped it.
No, that's not an accidental leak.
Oh, no.
Leak. An accidental leak is when you laugh too hard that you pee a little bit. That's an accidental leak.
Oops. Anyway, so, Electronic Arts.
This is
Arts,
not an accident.
Electronic Arts, EA, confirmed that the game is, one, indeed real, and is going to be developed by a Dead Space creator, Visceral Games, with DICE, which,
What game?
It's Battlefield Hardline.
Thank you. You're like, EA said that it's confirmed, and these guys are working on it, and I'm like, say the game.
Yeah, Battlefield Hardline.
Because Battlefield makes money. Surprise,
all
surprise.
The time.
New Battlefield.
I think we'll hear more about Battlefield Hardline.
But don't get me wrong, I fucking love DICE. I'm just saying.
On the 9th.
New Battlefield.
So, it is coming. Another one that I know I am probably a little bit more excited about, Project Beast for the PS4.
Yes.
Coming out of From Software, which we know are people who are all about Demon Souls and Dark Souls 1 and 2.
And so this one's now less of a rumor as well, because now it is the title that they are working on. It is, they said, in the Demon Souls, Dark Souls realm.
Which if you remember from the established line, Dark Souls happens way after Demon Souls, because Dark Souls was not necessarily a sequel to Demon Souls, but is related.
No, it's a soul successor.
It's not a linear. No, and obviously looking at the game's UI and all that, they look identical. The areas of places are different. So like if you're looking at a map, Demon Souls happens like in Boletaria, which is like way over on like the left. And this shit happens, way over on, like, the north-south. So, like, they're not near each other, but they're near enough to make the distinction.
North-South?
The North-South. The South-North.
The South-North?
The South-North.
So, is that the middle? I'm so confused.
It's on the other side. It's South, like, Southeast.
Thank you, because I'm like, you can't
go South-North. It's South or North.
It's the northern part of the South.
Yeah.
So, it's in the center?
It's in the middle. But they just released a little bit of some of the gameplay to give
you an
idea.
And a bunch of screens.
A bunch of screenshots of it.
And
it's totally a game that Ninja will not play, but I will definitely play.
Yep.
And it kind of has all those goodies from Demon Souls and Dark Souls, you know, interaction with white phantoms from what it looks like. It looks like you're going to encounter bosses the way that you encounter them in Dark Souls, which kind of sucks. They did kind of show us some soul screened doors, like from Demon Souls, which was something I liked because that usually denotes a serious battle. Like with a
serious.
Well, all the battles are obviously serious in these games, but in Demon Souls, those gates let you know that you were about to face the boss of that level, which meant you were about to possibly gain your body back. Whereas in Dark Souls, you could walk into a room and there's a boss, a fire-breathing dragon that just incinerates you the minute you walk in the room with no, you know, tell
no context
or
clues.
None. Like, hey, there's a door. It opens. Oh my God, I'm dead. Which happens
all the time.
That would
really make me upset.
All day, er day. But, I mean,
you've been saying that a lot this week.
It's the truth.
All day, er day.
All day, er day. But
okay, Miley.
But the funny thing about all of this is that the president who worked on Dark Souls 2 is really only supervising what's going on. So we might see them actually loosen the reins a little bit and remember that we're people with feelings.
Maybe. And those feelings sometimes can be rage.
And rage poops. Lots of rage poops are coming, guys. But we won't have too much longer to find out more about Project Beast. I'd love to see an element of maybe having a class that actually deals with, you know, manipulating animals or outside forces in the environments that you're in. But I don't work for From Software, so I don't know. And even if I did, I couldn't tell you. But
yeah,
I don't.
Especially if you did, you couldn't tell.
Oh my God, I would have just been shot through the throat, even bringing it up.
Also, another rumor, which is now not a rumor. GTA 5 coming to current consoles. Why is anybody surprised by this?
I'm not, because they made, I don't know, like $70 million on just GTA-O, which really probably shouldn't have given them much money because it was broken as fuck. But, like,
GTA is a money-making machine. Of course it's coming to current consoles.
Rockstar knows what gets the people's wallets open.
And I'll be honest with you, I knew that it was going to eventually happen, which is why, like, 4 days into starting GTA 5, I was like, on my Xbox 360, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for the Xbox One version.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean,
because you don't play with me online anyway, so there was no reason.
I don't.
But no, you play with other people online.
Well, I don't play GTA anymore because it's just so broke. But Rockstar knows how to get people to open their wallets. I mean, I feel like we're going to see Grand Theft Auto 5 port out to the current gen before they'll see it happen for computer.
Yep.
Because they're still waiting for computer to happen.
Yeah, no, it's going to come out.
It's going to be a while because it took them a while to do GTA 4 for the PC.
Yep.
So
just get Xbox One or PlayStation 4 and just deal.
So if you're really waiting for that PC version,
just
find a really comfy pillow, put it under your butt, get a Snickers so you don't get hangry. Because, you know,
nobody likes you when you're hangry.
You've got to wait.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are still rumored and thoughts on those and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
One of the ones that's really big out there is that it's been tossed out there that Microsoft is going to announce some kind of game-changing third-party exclusive at the media briefing. And I was trying to think of what could be a groundbreaking third-party exclusive to Xbox that could kind of change the game.
Holodeck.
Third-party game. Software, Panda. Oh. Come on.
Holodeck.
No. Stop it with the holodeck.
A waffle maker.
No.
Waffle Maker Simulator.
So let's...
Goat Simulator is coming to Next Gen.
Shut up. I would play Goat Simulator on the Xbox.
Oh my god, I totally would.
I play Goat Simulator with my Kinect. That's how much I would.
I'm a goat.
That.
I'm a goat.
So
toads my goats.
So I started thinking about some things, okay? Because Microsoft announced that they're going to be unbundling the Kinect from Xbox systems, so you can get a system without a Kinect.
Okay.
Now, which previously they said was not part of their roadmap, that they did not see a world where they had systems that didn't have Kinects, because that's the way of the future. Now they're taking it out. You can opt to get one if you want. It drops the price point of the system, but you don't have to have it. So that kind of shift tells me that, one, developers are having a really hard time developing and incorporating the Kinect in any kind of real meaningful way to their gameplay. Two, they're not making money like they want to on the boxes that the Kinect is included. Okay. So you started thinking, all right, well, if Microsoft right before E3 was like, hey, we're going to have a bunch of Xbox Ones that you could purchase with no Kinect, and we've got an amazing third-party thing that's going to change the game.
It's an Oculus Rift.
My brain tells me that, it must be something that doesn't require Kinect. Because you'll want to bundle it with the system that doesn't come with the Kinect, right?
Yes.
So, I think the next Red Dead game is going to be an Xbox One exclusive.
You think?
And will not require Kinect.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know about
I don't
that.
Think that there's any real reason to Kinectify Red Dead. Even with the tracking that you have,
but why would Rockstar opt to make
money?
But why make it exclusive?
Because if Microsoft is going to foot a big piece of your dev by making it exclusive, because that's one of the things that happens, is that when games are exclusive, it's because the studio is putting up money to help develop the game. That's why they get the exclusive. It's not just, we'll just put it out on your system. It's, we'll just put it out on your system, and here's the financial things that you're going to do for us to do that. That's how exclusivity works. So that's my first thought.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, Red Dead probably wouldn't be made better by having Kinect enabled.
Stand up and gallop while you ride your horse.
I could see me trying to make comments to somebody while I'm playing the game that triggered something in my game, because I had that happen during Mass Effect that pissed me the fuck off.
I remember.
And so I disconnected my Kinect after that. So there's that.
Right. Okay.
Thought right there. So we really haven't heard from BioWare in a while.
We have not heard from BioWare.
And, it's not like they're not working on games.
Right. They're totally working on games.
Okay. And they had already said, a while ago, that the last Mass Effect game, while it was the end of Shepard's story, wasn't the end of the Mass Effect world, right?
Right.
So, once again, system without a Kinect required. So, Kinect not required to play. Maybe a new Mass Effect. That's just Xbox.
And we know that they were hinting around a possible Dragon Age, so...
Yep.
That was bound to happen.
So... those are, a couple of my quick thoughts, because I'm trying to think of something else that would be, really surprising.
If I had to go on my gut of things that I'd love to see that there
not
have been...
Not love. It's got to be an educated guess.
A third-party
announcement that would be groundbreaking to be exclusive on the Xbox.
From what my understanding is of things that have been mentioned... Because, Square Enix has been bleeding out money a lot.
Yep.
And has been trying to patch themselves up as best that they can.
Yep. And we already know that Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming to the Xbox One.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming, and they've also already announced that they're doing a Kingdom Hearts 2.5 remix they did for 1.
To go all HD on that ish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, is a good way to kind of salvage that connection with Disney and all that stuff Because that's another thing I'd expect to see from Infinity. Is that we might see a partnership between them and Square because of, because of Kingdom Hearts, so that there might be some, you know, figurines from, you know, that game, you know, like Sora, Roxas, or Kyrie, which would be super, super fucking balls. But I also know that, you know, Square Enix had another very big game come out a little bit after, you know, Kingdom Hearts was a big deal that was also very music-based, you know, The World Ends With You, which is something that I've talked about at great length on this show a lot in the past. And we've all been idly sitting here with our thumbs itching for, you know, the next piece of the, you know, The World Ends With You puzzle. And it is known that they have been working on soundtrack for that game. So I think they might hint at The World Ends With You when they announce Kingdom Hearts 3, which we already know is a confirmed entity.
Yeah, but we're talking about what's this third-party exclusive. So you're saying it's The World Ends With You?
No. I'm just
that's what I'm talking about. Is what's this third-party killer exclusive?
It's gonna be Cooking Mama.
It's not gonna be Cooking Mama.
It is going to be. Because I feel like it's going to be like a shooter. Like, I don't feel it's going to be like an action-adventure-y thing.
Well, it's not going to be any of your big platforms. So it's not going to be a COD. It's not going to be...
No. I think it's going to be like...
And it's going to be a known entity, because otherwise it wouldn't
be game-changing. It's going to be Alan Wake. Remedy is going to take Alan Wake out of its box and take us on a psychological thriller ride.
So it's going to be an Xbox-only Alan Wake game? I didn't think that Alan Wake sold that well.
Alan Wake did surprisingly well for a new IP. Right, but I mean
like a console mover. Like, if you're going to say that, if you're going to tell that you've got an announcement that's going to be an exclusive thing that's really going to shake
people. It's going to be Crash Bandicoot.
It's got to be a box mover, right? It can't just be like we're going to have this exclusive for 6 months. Everybody's like, oh, okay,
it's going to be...
It's got to be big. And so I'm trying to think of, like, what would be a big one? Like, Mass Effect only on Xbox One would be a big deal.
It's going to be Fable. Just kidding.
You're an asshole. Already is only Xbox.
Fable 4.
You're a donk.
Fable 4 Noir.
You're just...
It's gonna be.
I can't even deal with you.
Right it's now. Gonna be Burger Time.
It's not is there.
Burger Time HD real.
There
remix.
Already is a Burger Time. It's gonna HD be. Remix, you dink.
It's gonna. 3D. It's gonna be.
If you're not gonna be serious about it, let's just move on.
It's gonna be Mario. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm excited to find out because I know I'll probably poop my pants.
And so here's the thing, like, when they announce it and we're both wrong, we're both gonna be, like, tweeting each other.
Be like, I was wrong.
The fuck just happened?
It's gonna be, Master Chief. It's gonna be
Halo. You're a shit.
It's gonna be
Halo. You're a shithead. So... Obviously, we also all know new Halo is happening. Not a rumor. Dance Central 4.
I do
also
not...
Also rumored.
I'm... Okay, I don't feel like this is a rumor because Harmonix is, you know, really good about utilizing motion. Like, they've been able to do a lot more with it than a lot of other games.
Yeah, up until they had to let go of 37 people who all worked on the motion team. So I have a feeling that if they were working on a Dance Central 4...
They might be putting that on hiatus,
unless
like,
that thing was, like, close to being done, ain't gonna happen for a while.
Might not. They're gonna put that on the back burner. But that's
because they gotta launch Chroma and they gotta launch Fantasia.
They have to... Yep. Fantasia, Chroma, Record Run.
Record Run's already done.
And...
It's already out.
And they... Got that Kickstarter for Amplitude, so they best be working on all that licensing.
They're gonna be working on it, but
all that licensing stuff.
You know, when I saw the rumors about Dance Central 4, I was like, "Yep, can't wait," because I really enjoyed all the Dance Central games, and like I alluded to earlier, I really miss rhythm-based gaming in the new consoles. Like, I stare longingly at my drums and my guitar from Rock Band and go, "Oh, so sad as you gather dust." Like, I miss that in my gameplay. That's kind of like was my fun go-to relax space, and I don't have that right now because it doesn't exist. So I was very excited about Dance Central 4, and then Microsoft made their announcement about unbundling the Kinect, and then Harmonix had to make their announcement about their layoffs. And so I'm very concerned about when another Dance Central game will happen, if another Dance Central game will happen. I have a feeling that Harmonix will be very focused on Fantasia at E3 because it's due to be released this fall for a holiday season. And so I don't know that they would want to be focusing on that and another game, a big one release, at the same time. So my gut tells me Dance Central 4 is not happening this go-round, but I really wish that
the rumors will come out eventually.
And it would.
So, I mean, those are all the rumors that I had.
So my last one, and this is more of a hope beyond hope. This is my Thundercats
site. A dream to the impossible dream.
This is my impossible dream. Please, Jesus, somebody, anybody,
help.
I don't care who it is or what reasoning behind doing it, but Last Guardian needs to be real, and somebody needs to give me...
That cute fuzzy dragon kitten needs to do stuff.
Because, look, the first time we saw that thing, we're like, there's no way this is being done on a PlayStation 3. And they're like, you can't believe the processing power of the blah, blah, blah chip. And everybody in that room was like, there's no way that this is running on a PS3.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't. I'm pretty sure, if anything, from what I remember seeing and what I go back and look at on YouTube from time to time, definitely, definitely to be a full-blown game would have to be something that would run on the current-gen architecture. So I'm hopeful that the rumors I keep hearing, because, you know, they renewed the license and the web domain for Last Guardian, and they've always said that it was not gone, it was merely on hiatus. I'm hopeful that that hiatus was not as long as they said it was, and that we'll have at least...
That's done.
So, not done, but at least some kind of timeline.
Nah, bitch should be done.
Just some kind of timeline to when it's going to be done and when I'm going to be able to get my hands on a demo, and that it will be available to people who have PSN Plus early. That's what I want. So please make that happen. Last Guardian. I'm begging you, Sony. Last Guardian. Thank you. Good night. Like, that's it. Like, there's some other talk about Zelda games, which to me, I don't think that's a rumor. We're a year into the Wii U. It needs a Zelda
It needs game. A Zelda zap.
It does. It needs a Zelda game. So I look at that.
It needs a Parameter Pikmin.
I look at that as, like, less of a rumor
but
and more
under
of a,
Mario Brothers.
Stop it. And then, like, just, like, wild out there that would just, like, be, like, the best is if somebody, like, rebooted Parappa the Rapper, I'd be happy.
Holy crap, man.
That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be fucking awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be the shit. So that's really all I've got on the rumor mill side of E3, because rumors
have it.
If you've heard any or have some that you'd love to share with us, or even have your thoughts on what this epic third-party thing could be for Microsoft, or what Sony's going to bring to the table as their kind of big slam dunk, you know, especially this year being the year without Jack. So that'll be different for all of us, as Jack Trenton will not be presenting, as he's no longer with the company, their media briefing and keynoting it. But will, for those of you checking out coverage through Spike, be commentating on all of the media briefings of the day. Make sure that you share your thoughts with us on the web, on Twitter, or on our Facebook page. You can tweet at us at ESH News on the Twitters. You can get us at us on Facebook, facebook.com/Land of Ash. We will have a custom application on our page that will have our live tweet of the media briefings going on. So join us. We'll post the hashtags for everyone to see. Join the chat along with us as we go through the experience and kick off E3 the right way. You can check out all of our written reviews and previews from the show and all the other things that we do outside of trade shows at our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You'll find the podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or in the iTunes music application on your desktop by searching for Electric Sisterhood or in your mobiles via the podcast application. Same search will get you that podcast and you can subscribe. You'll also find us in the Microsoft Store through Stitcher Radio and, as always, on the Vogue Network right before an Anime Jam session on Tuesdays. Make sure that you check out some of the other great shows on the network, because we're not the only voice at the Voice of Geeks Network. There are plenty of others, and you definitely want to check them out because they're amazing. In addition, you'll want to check out all the indie stuff that's going on, whether it's movies, music, entertainment, anime, manga, you name it. He covers it. KBD, No Borders, No Race, new episodes on Tuesday. For all the best EDM, trap music, and beats in your face and in your ears, make sure that you check out Geek Aggro, held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live, ask questions, share your stuff. It's no big whoop. It's kind of fun. And you can be part of the YouTube videos for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated. Like I said, we're on the Twitters. We're on the Facebook. Interact with us. Ask us questions. Let us know if there's something you want us to check out. We'll be more than happy to do so. And so with that, it's the time of my show, our show, where I turn to my sister and I say, hey, what shit you digging this week?
I am digging Star Trek.
It's not a bad thing to dig.
Nope. What about you, my dear sister?
I'm actually kind of digging video games again. I'd fallen out of love a little bit because I was like way into anime world. But I got to tell you, the recent batch of games that I've been playing have really kind of stoked and reminded me how much and why I love the medium and just sitting down and plunking down and getting interactive with it. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, we're out.
Keep it classy.